12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And God, I pray for the filling of your spirit that I may minister the word to your church tonight. I pray that you would edify your church by your spirit and by your word for the glory of Jesus. Father, please help us in that tonight. Please fill my wife with your spirit. In the deaf ladies class there, Father, help her and use her as she ministers there. Dear God, be with Steph in the nursery, and Lester watching the children, fill her with your spirit. God, give us understanding and draw us closer to you. We thank you for this time we could worship you tonight and have fellowship one with another and know that your spirit is here with us. Prepare us for whatever you have for us in the time as we look for your coming. And so, Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So the Apostle Paul has taught us much through Romans chapter 1, through Romans chapter 8, a whole lot of doctrine. A whole lot of doctrine about salvation. Romans chapter 9 through 11 we saw are kind of a parenthesis where Paul was showing what God is doing in this dispensation, having the partial blindness of Israel being set aside until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's kind of a parenthesis there in the chronology of Romans. And this beginning of chapter 12 fits very well with the end of chapter 8. These great doctrines being taught. And doctrine is for a purpose. Doctrine is to be lived. It's not just that we might know and knowledge puffeth up. What? But charity edifieth. Amen. Knowledge that is not lived can become a deficit. It can be make us prideful, but we need to apply these things to our hearts and lives. So Paul now begins to clarify the practical living which the previous doctrines are to produce in the life of every believer. And so he tells us here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And by the way, I won't go into all that I have prepared for Romans chapter 12, 1. As I was preparing that, the Lord kind of directed me. I'll be preaching on that passage this coming Sunday morning, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. So you're going to get a greater blessing being here tonight. Because you're going to see some of the context of that and the verses following And the message in Romans chapter 1 this coming Sunday morning, if the Lord tarries, is going to mean more to you. You're going to have more of the background behind it. And I know that those will be blessed, obviously, who just come Sunday morning as well. But it's going to have a little bit deeper, more meaning to you Sunday morning. So Paul wants us to put these things to practice. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, what mercies is he talking about? Well, he's talking about all the mercies he's just taught us about. And that mercies is used in the idea of the good things that have come our way. You know, in the Old Testament, God's mercies are used synonymous with his love. His mercies, his loves, his graces, his mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. And so we'll look up some passages here. I'll have some, we'll talk about some of the mercies. What Paul is saying, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Because of the mercies of God, consider them. Consider what he's shown us. And because of this, and this God has provided, because of what we know, because of our standing now, then here is what we should do. Here's how we apply that. Someone want to read Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. Romans 3, 25 and 26. Brother Charles?
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, that this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
So there's the mercies, what? Of the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a propitiation for our sins. God is satisfied in what he did for us. And he died, what, in our place. What a great mercy that is, amen. I beseech you by that mercy. That's one of those mercies you just taught him. That's the doctrine of the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 3, 21, talks about, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of God, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And so praise the Lord for that. So here we have what? We have the imputed righteousness. He not only took our sins and became and took the wrath of God upon him that we deserve, but then he what? We've learned in the doctrine, he gave us his righteousness. He put that on our account. And the moment that we believe in him. And so that imputed righteousness, justified freely by his grace through Christ. And then Romans 4:16. Someone want to read Romans 4:16, Brother Bryant?
Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the promise of his life.
So what a blessing, what a mercy this is, that it's made sure by what? By faith. By faith. We couldn't keep the law, could we? And so God said, God says, I'm going to make it by faith, and then you'll know. It'll be so. You trust in my son, he's done it all. That's the only way to make that promise sure. What a mercy of God that he provided that for us by faith. And that, by the way, that promise he's talking about is the very promise of eternal life. In 1 John 2:25, John writes, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. That could be the heading over all those promises. Because of his propitiation, what do we get? Eternal life. Because of his justification by faith, what do we get? Eternal life. Because of this imputed righteousness, what do we get? Eternal life is what we get. And that wonderful promise. Romans 7:4. Someone want to read Romans 7:4, Brother Austin?
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law
What a blessed mercy that is. We are dead to the law. And the law has no power over a dead man. And so the law has no power over us. Our righteousness is not of the law. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are free what? We are free to love him and keep his commandments. Amen. We don't lose our salvation. We fail to keep the law. When we mess up, we have a relationship that is a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a family relationship. And we want to keep that law. We want to follow those commandments. Why? Because we love him. That's our motivation. And we have that power, that grace. We died with him. And that's what sheltered us from the law. The law has no power over a dead man. And now we have what? We're raised with him to walk in newness of life. Now we live under what? The perfect law of liberty. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what we live under now. And what a great mercy. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And boy, he enumerated so many of them through those first eight chapters. And probably especially in Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 and following. Romans 8, 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How about that? The mercy of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and intercedes for us, helps us to pray. By the way, intercedes for us when we can't put words to our prayer. And he speaks to God. He knows exactly what we need. What a wonderful mercy, that sealing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 28. And we know what? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, what? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And so what a blessing. And so we have all of these mercies on down there through Romans chapter Romans chapter 8 there. He says, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He goes on there, all the way down through that. He'll freely give us, he that spared not his own Son, verse 32. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. And he goes on there. And verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, none of those things. He goes on in verse 38, for I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see how what a wonderful truth. You see how much we need to magnify this simple phrase, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Consider all this. And you're going to have that in your mind, Lord willing. If the Lord tarries and we're here on Sunday, when you hear those mercies, that's going to come to your mind for being here tonight. And all these mercies are what compel us what to do the following. In Romans chapter 12 and throughout the rest of the chapter of Romans. That mercy of the predestined glory. Every believer is predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. There won't be a single one of us that won't be conformed to that image. And so what a wonderful, wonderful truth that is. Presenting our bodies to him. We're bought and paid for. And we'll be more on that to be continued on Sunday morning. And let's look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so there's the call. We are to come out of the world and not be transformed, not be conformed to this world. I think Peter writes about the same thought by the Holy Spirit and the same command in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 and following. We will, if we look at it closely, we'll see that he's kind of saying the same thing that Paul is here. 1 Peter 1, 10 and following, Peter writes, "Of which salvation," that's what Paul just taught a whole lot about, the salvation through faith in Christ, "of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Boy, there's some mercies, the love of God, and that would fit under the general category of God's mercies, and the idea of God's love, both his mercy and his grace, would fit under that category. 1 Peter 1:11, "Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." And we know the Old Testament prophets that spoke of that. In verse 12, "Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Joel talked about the Holy Ghost being poured out upon at this time. They understood that that was future. That wasn't for them. It was for a future time. Guess who it was for? It was for us and for the church and Jew and Gentile coming together. And so this great salvation, that's what Paul talked about in Romans 9, through 11, this dispensation here. And so look what Peter writes in verse 13 and following. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." What does Paul say? Be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," by the way, that's "present your body," what? "A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, as obedient children." And here it is, "not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts," in your ignorance, be not conformed to this world like we used to live, doing what we wanted to do and what the world compelled us to do. Peter writes, "not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy," what? So "be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Do you see the likeness of what Peter's calling us to there, as what the Spirit is compelling the Apostle Paul to write kind of the same thing there and enforcing that in the Scriptures? Be not conformed to this world. This world is an evil world. Someone want to read Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Galatians 1 and verse 4. Brother Dennis. This is an evil world. A Christian ought not to feel comfortable here, frankly. You know, if a Christian's comfortable here, Lord Jesus, he can come for another 1,000 years, that'd be okay with me. Are you that comfortable? I would hope that we wouldn't be that way. It ought to be getting, especially with the recent developments in our country, the rest of the world's maybe been suffering a little bit more than we have, but we're seeing a little bit more of that evil encroaching here. It's just uncomfortable, isn't it? And that's the way it should be, because it's an evil world, and we are called out of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." We need to be sharing this gospel, be showing it with our lives. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom," what? "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." It's amazing what people will believe to not believe the gospel. You know, one of the most foremost atheist apologists is, what's the guy's name? Just flew out of my head here. Help me here. Stephen Hawking, yeah. And he said, you know, his take on, since life is so complicated, he had to admit that it really couldn't happen by accident, life on planet Earth. But intelligent beings from the universe somewhere could have seeded life here and put life here. But they too would have had to come from evolutionary process like we have. And it's amazing what people will believe just so they can deny the Bible. And choose not to believe the Bible. By the way, they're willingly ignorant, okay? They don't want the Bible to be true. Because if the Bible is to be true, then there is a God that we're supposed to present our bodies to, a living sacrifice. And we are not the God of our lives, are we? We are not the ruler of our lives, are we? If there is a God of the universe, and there is. It's an evil world, and it's an evil world system. As we're not talking about the trees, and the lakes, and the creation in that sense, and we're created in God's image. But we're talking about what the spirit that is working in this world. I mean, it's put in three we see three aspects of this evil world shown to us in 1 John chapter 2, very familiar passage. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, what? You the things that are in the world, for all, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's that uncomfortableness here. And he goes on to say, for all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Aren't you glad those things are going to pass away? You know, we got the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We ought to be glad those things are going to pass away. By the way, those things won't be in heaven. You know, I think about Christians and living their lives out, and I wonder how many of us are getting ready for heaven. Are we getting ready to do without the things that aren't going to be there? You know, are we? Think about that. And would we be able to watch the shows that we watch in heaven? You know, think about that. Would we be able to go the places that we go here in heaven? Are we getting ready? You know, for that place, and are we directing our lives for that? We're gonna be there a long time, okay? And it's gonna be a long time that we're there, and we ought to be getting ready for it now, and looking forward to that. In John chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it what that the works thereof are evil, and the works are evil." And we can testify to that, but we must do it what? Lovingly. We always be careful to speak the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4 says. And so we've taught that here many times. Truth without love is too hard. And love without truth is too soft. That's why God said, I want you to speak the truth in love. And reaching out to those that are around us as we have the opportunity to do so. Jesus says about his disciples and tells them in John 15:19, if you're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And there's things that the world is not going to like about you and I, even if we tell the truth in love. You see, because the truth, what? Exposes darkness, doesn't it? And once darkness is exposed, a man has a choice. They're going to have to either depart from that darkness or embrace it, one or the other. And those who choose to embrace it, what? Will make excuses. And they'll begin to find what? They'll begin to call good evil and evil good. We're seeing that all around us today. And so we see that. We are not to have our minds governed by the thought patterns of this evil age. not to be not conformed to this world. Now, this here in verse 2 here, and we won't get any farther than verse 2 here tonight, maybe into 3 a little bit, but this is an either-or thing. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to be one or the other. It's like we talked about recently, the same in the passage of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Another either or situation. And 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, what? Being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, it's an either or. We're either going to fall from our own steadfastness, or we're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think we had that in the beginning of the year, talking about which one of those are we going to choose? It's going to be one or the other. And we want to grow in grace, don't we? And we certainly don't want to go the other way. And here it's the same thing. We're either going to be conformed to this world, or we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're not going to put it neutral and just sit on the fence somewhere in the middle. It's not going to happen. The forces of this world are pressing on us so much. I sat down, got back from my bus route the other day, and I sat down. And sometimes I'll make an egg or something and a piece of toast or something. I'll sit down and watch a little bit of news. I told my wife was there, and I turned on Fox, and I said, "Well, I'm going to turn on and watch my 1 minute of news and 10 minutes of commercial, you know." And that's what it is. It's just so much, you know, stuff like that. And the world is always working. You got the better house, you know, and the better car, the better husband, and the better wife, you know, and you just don't have what you need, you know. The world so against that thing of being content, and it's that pressure just always pressing us to accept their values. And it's an either or thing, and we want to be followers of Christ. We want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then verse 3, Paul writes, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, we saw a whole big list of, I beseech you, by the mercies of God. We considered a whole bunch of those as power behind what Paul's about to tell us to do. And now Paul says here, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me." Oh my goodness. There's another list. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to try to go through it tonight. But next Wednesday, we're going to look at that. That's going to back up. We're going to have the mercies of God. It's compelling us to do this. And then the grace that is given to Paul, who he is and what God has done to him in his life. And that is going to be just as powerful. And when we get done looking at that, it's going to be like, man, God really wants us to do this, present your body, living sacrifice thing. He really wants us, you know, not to think more highly than we ought to think. He really wants us to, you know, to serve him. We consider both of those together. It's gonna make a whole lot more impact on what Paul is urging us to do. And by the way, he's so graciously urging us to do it. You know what he says? "I beseech you therefore, brethren." You know what he's saying? "I beg you. I beg you to do it." He's not, "I'm the apostle Paul, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, and you better listen to me." That's not what he's doing. He's saying, "I beg you. I beg you." You know why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Paul knows that it's by a constant begging. Now there's a time for righteous anger. I understand that. And Jesus, you know, anger is not a sin. Christ was angry. And we can be angry and sin not, the Bible says. There's a time for anger. By the way, we ought to be angered at some of the things that are going on in this world. We ought to be angered, you know, at abortion. You know, we ought to be angered at gay marriage being called virtuous. We ought to be angered at those things, and we could add many to that list of what's going on. We ought to be angered at those things. But what's the answer? The answer is to live is this present your body living sacrifice thing, and giving ourselves to God, so that he can use us for his glory and make a difference in those that are around us, at least in our realm, amen, reaching the ones that we can reach, doing what we can do, and glorifying his name. All right, we're going to close there for tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings and goodness. Oh, the mercies of God. We consider them, God. We did not even scratch the surface of all the mercies you've shown unto us. And now you just beg us through the Apostle Paul to give to you what is rightfully yours. That is the rule and the leadership in our lives. And I pray, dear God, that you would compel us and help us to do that fully. Dear God, that you might be glorified. And Father, we any time we take a step of faith, we always wondered why it took us so long to do that. Anytime we draw closer to you, it's always why so long. It's always a blessing to us, God. It's always worth it, regardless of how the world views it, regardless of what trials may come our way. Drawing closer to you, walking with you, is the reward in itself. Because we draw closer to you, we know you, and we even at times have fellowship in your sufferings, and you give that very grace and that consolation every step of the way. And so, Father, help us in these things for your glory. We do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.